And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Folks, we've got a great show for you planned. Paul McGuire. That's right, Paul McGuire. From paulmcguire.us. You know Paul McGuire. If you don't, get ready. Oh, man, it's going to be one of those shows. I can feel it. I can feel the electricity right now. That's probably because I'm sitting on my stun gun. No. Just not really. But although that has happened before, and it's unpleasant, let me just tell you that. Now, we've got a great show lined up for you tonight, folks. Welcome to Hagman and Hagman. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our website's HagmanandHagman.com, HagmanReport.com. Our YouTube channel, where you can watch us live each and every weeknight. The official Hagman and Hagman Report. Team K9, just go to HagmanandHagman.com and subscribe. Because it's well worth it. Door prizes on the way out. That's right. We've got, again, as I said, we've got a great show lined up for you tonight, folks. You're not going to want to miss what Paul McGuire has to say. He was the one, Paul McGuire was the one that laid everything out for the Paris attacks before, during, and after. And he's the one, of course. Paul McGuire has written A Prophecy of the Future of America. And A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. Two different, distinctly different books. Do not confuse the fact that if you've got one, you've got the other. No, you don't. No, they're two different books.
And he's been generous enough that we're going to have a special tonight.
That's right.
So stay tuned for that.
Portions of Nice Broadcast brought to you by Minuteman Stove. Minuteman Stove. Do you have one? Do you have one? If you don't, you need one. Minuteman Stove.
Absolutely.
Now, I just want to say to our viewing audience, we're coming to you audio only, I hope, because we're just in our pajamas right now. No. Audio only as we take care of a few issues here in our studio. You know, we want to thank you for helping us upgrade and being able to send Hillary Diane Rodham the witch, the yak Clinton, being able to send the yak across the screen. As you see now, bouncity, 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 bounce. Follow the yak. Follow the bouncing yak. And, of course, the yak train. I don't know where these have come from.
They came out of your mind.
Yes. But the yak train is specifically entertaining, very entertaining. But the demonic... In all seriousness, the demonic that is associated with these people, with the global elite, is not fun. Paul McGuire, from our last broadcast, you ready? Eric the Tech at the switch. Go ahead. Yeah, the 59. Folks, take a listen.
There are 1,000 stories of vital importance, but the media ignores these thousands of stories of vital importance to give you the same drumbeat propaganda from channel to channel to dumb you down. But you listen to the Hagman and Hagman Report, you're going to experience a riptide of diverse information from challenging thinkers who will shake, rattle, and roll your consciousness for the purpose of growth. And that's what it's all about. If you want to stay in the safety zone, then get a pair of diapers and sit in a cradle or a corner and be a little kid the rest of your life. 2016, if you say you love your children, if you say you love God, then you're either in the game or not in the game. And to be in the game means you've got to actually get up, call on the power of God, use the mind of Christ, and then iron sharpens iron. You have to do whatever it takes to get your mind up to speed to be able to be effective.
What a great clip from and what a fantastic and important message from Paul McGuire last time he was on. And without any further ado, our guest tonight, Mr. Paul McGuire, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Gentlemen, great to be on, and I'm both laughing and honored by the introduction, but laughing about the stun gun joke and the pajama joke.
Yeah, let me ask you, Paul, have you ever done that? Seriously, have you ever accidentally zapped yourself with a stun gun? Oh.
I have not. I can't imagine what it would be like.
I just real quick, Paul, we working as investigators, we had an array of things with us, and one day that I was with my old partner, who's now deceased, had a stun gun in my it would be in my back cargo pants back in the 80s back pocket, and back then they were bulky, and you know, anyway, he thought it was kind of a joke, and we were messing around. Anyway, he put the on switch on, and I sat down, and let me tell you something. I thought I was shot. I thought I wasn't right for 2 days. And some people will argue I'm still not right, but that's another story. But anyway, it was fun.
Well, I don't know what to say after that, man. No pun intended, but I'm stunned.
Well, Paul, it's great to have you, and thanks for coming on tonight. We have so many serious and important topics to talk about.
And folks, go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And check out Paul's website, bookmark it, and there you can find the latest news and information, as well as a link to Paul's radio show, which is heard each weekday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can get that on Blog Talk Radio, as well as his website. And you can order his book right from his website as well, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, as well as the latest article he has up tonight, Pokemon Go, Politicians, and the Social Bot Elections. And you're going to want to take a read on that article, as we're going to be getting into this tonight. And I'm really looking forward to what Paul has to say on about Pokemon Go. This is something that it's an app, a video game that people play on their phones, and it's led to a number of just crazy stories, from people trespassing to people getting injured while playing this game, as they move from, you know, our current reality to a game mentality and reality.
Just last night after the show, I was playing at Joe, and I crossed four lanes of interstate. I don't know.
No, there's a lot more here than we don't know about. I actually read a story last week of a Russian woman who is a Pokemon Go player who said she was sexually assaulted by one of the monsters on Pokemon Go. It's almost unbelievable, but you have to read this woman's account. And there's other demonic activity that is and has been related to this game. And this virtual reality world that is coming to us is very dangerous. Paul, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you start where you want to go.
Well, yeah, it's very interesting to hear the accounts of the Pokemon Go app and augmented reality. And as both of you gentlemen know, anybody who uses the internet, which is probably most of your listeners, viewers, and you guys, and anybody who uses the internet a great deal, probably understands or suspects that the internet is largely manipulated reality. And the name of the game is, how do you get truth and filter out the disinformation which is being planted there constantly, and the blatant lies. So the whole thing, you know, they talk about the political system being rigged. Well, I believe the political system is rigged, and I think we have a great danger of the elections being rigged electronically and otherwise. But the internet is rigged. And I was watching the television news coverage regarding various political stories, including the election, and I have never seen, and you know, whether you're a liberal or a conservative, I have never seen the level of just all-on, full-frontal propaganda, just entire shows, just propaganda, just like punching you in the face, just manipulated information, lies, scheming, you know, rigging the conversations so you get your agenda. I mean, it has become brutal, and they don't even hide it anymore. It is so heavy-handed, and the agenda that they have is so obvious that it's I have never seen anything like this, and I've been around a while, and probably a lot of people have never seen anything like this. So I was watching that, and then I was thinking about the internet and watching the internet being rigged. And we all know, for example, that when comments are made, you know, like let's say you post an article or you post a comment on social media like Facebook or whatever, or you review a movie or you make any kind of you post any kind of reaction statement, comment, whatever, onto the media, now onto the internet. So everybody who uses that knows, because we've discussed it on your program before, that there are trolls out there, usually people who have nothing better to do, and their entire, because they don't do anything themselves, because they don't create something themselves, and because they don't have a true leadership position, their high, or their the way that they get some kind of reinforcement towards their identity is to be a troll. They have a fictitious name, and they attack or create disinformation on the internet, and that's quite common. But they're not they're not serious people, because they hide behind their little fictitious identities. But that's just the beginning, because that manipulates a lot of things. So for example, if there's a movie and somebody doesn't like the message, well, a group can target that movie with tons of negative reviews, but it's manipulated. Let's say there's a huge percentage of the public that loves that movie, but the only reaction you're going to see on the internet, because it's manipulated, are the negative reviews. So they skew the results. And then manipulated rankings, I believe, are very common. So if you have a radio program or whatever you're putting up on the internet, an article, a YouTube, any number of things, page hits, visits, any method of ranking something you put up on the internet, it can be manipulated. So I have seen, and I've discussed this with people, and I've brought up YouTubes, and I've brought up different things on the internet, and I look at it and I say, gee, 1,225 views or hits, and I know that that's false based on who put it up and what the other rankings are, and it's always tied into the headline of the YouTube or the title of the YouTube or the content of the YouTube, and if the content or the headline doesn't meet the requirements of the unseen censors, I believe they rig the number count. And they do that for a variety of reasons. One is, if you can manipulate the numbers, you can make that YouTube or that statement or whatever less important, because after all, only a few people are visiting that or watching that. But more importantly, you can attack, if people are using it for advertising measurements, by manipulating the numbers of people, you can hurt or negatively impact the advertising dollars. And I believe that's being done on a widespread scale. Now, on top of that, and I've been aware of this a long time and decided to just dip in a little bit into the actual technology, there are all these people. Well, they appear as people, and they have names, and they make comments and postings, and they attack this or promote that on Facebook or whatever, Twitter or social media, whatever it is. They're all over the place, and there's millions of them, but they aren't real people. They're computer-generated identities called social bots or social robots, and these social bots have a name, you know, as if they were a person. They pretend they are a person. They're programmed to make certain comments. They can engage in certain amounts of discussions, like you. They can reply to you. They'll respond, but they're not real. They're social robots, and they're sent out by the millions in terms of electronic bits of information. And what these social robots can do is they can completely manipulate the reality of the internet. So you'll have all these people talking in all these chat rooms or Facebook or social media or YouTubes or whatever it is, but they're not even trolls. Trolls are people. These are social bots, social robots. So they have been, actually, the whole social bot technology began in the 50s. But it's grown exponentially. Now, the critical factor here, and I'm going to tie it into Pokemon Go in a second, or a couple of seconds, is that what they have, through psychological research, they have determined that one of the primary, there's a variety of techniques that cause people to be motivated to do something, or cause people to feel powerless and do nothing. So let's talk about the election for a minute. They have discovered that by using social robots or social bots, they can manipulate the moods of target demographic groups. So that could be African Americans, it could be the Democrats, it could be Republicans, whatever. They can manipulate the moods of target demographic groups via social media with these social bots, and by increasing negative feelings and negative emotions regarding a candidate or a platform or whatever, then the people of that group that are being bombarded with social bots attacking negatively their candidate or whatever, those people are more likely not to vote, not to show up at the polls, and to become disengaged. And in the same way, if through the use of social bots, they can increase the positive feelings in a target demographic group through these social bots, then that will increase the likelihood that these people will turn out and actually vote, participate in the polls, and be involved. Now, that's just one little slice of what social bots can do. But you now have a completely virtual world, the world of internet communication. You don't know who you're communicating with. I mean, it used to be you were communicating with just a troll, a person hiding. But now people are communicating with robots, technological robots, social bots, and they are controlling the content and the tone and the mood and the idea flow in the internet. And it's very Orwellian, it's very sophisticated, and it's being employed in this election process like never before.
Yeah, it is. And we've seen, for those who don't know, that news outlets and media are using robots to write news stories. One example is, I believe, the New York Times is using robots to write news stories on the Rio Olympics. But this is where it starts, and we're going to see that continue, as well as I read not too long ago that robots were also writing Hollywood sitcom
yeah,
scripts. But the
not
back
your
to the
traditional robots, like, you know, Lost in Space kind of robots, but
right, the computer, online
right.
artificial intelligence,
as Paul kind of referenced here.
And,
so that's right. Yeah.
And you made some interesting comments, Paul. The online trolls, you know, the comments that we see, you know, that support Hillary or support the any agenda that lines up with abortion and gun control. You don't know if these people are human trolls, if they are actually human and feel that way, or if they are robots that are programmed to counter truthful statements on the internet. And it goes so far back in 2013 in July. The U.S. repealed the propaganda ban that will allow spreading of government-made news to Americans, and this anti-propaganda law prevented the U.S. government from broadcasting and delivering programming to American audiences. Well, that ban was lifted in 2013, and as a result, thousands of hours per week of government-funded radio and TV programs, and what you talked about, these online bots are now allowed to legally broadcast, comment on, and disperse government propaganda. And there's no, I mean, when you have that those laws in place that allow a government to do this without restrictions, where how do you know what's truth and what's not?
Well, you don't, and that's why you see these pictures of the Chinese government where they're in these rooms and you have 100 people sitting at little desks on computers, and it's the government controlling chat room information. It's the government, Chinese government manipulating social media. So we have the same thing in the U.S. And what it does is if you're... Another thing that they do with this technology, and this part is relatively easy, but the social bots are easy for them to do too. They manipulate and they can direct the flow of news information. So like everybody, you know, depending upon whatever they're using for their email service, let's say it's AOL or whatever, Gmail or whatever, their YouTube news sites they go on to, because whenever you go on a news site, you're tracked, and many of the ads that pop up on even if it's a conservative news site, many of the ads that pop up when you visit that conservative news site are based on your profile, your basic internet profile of what interests you or what other sites you visited or whatever your beliefs are. So the pop-up ads and the pop-up messages that you're seeing as you travel around the internet, and you could travel around and for example, be reading stories on the, let's say, the Olympics. And as you're reading stories in the Olympics, there'll be pop-up ads that come on that page, but they'll reflect your beliefs or your buying habits or your potential buying habits. So they use the same technology to direct negative information and negative news towards you and your demographic group. So let's say you're a Hillary supporter or a Sanders supporter. Everywhere you go on the internet, you're going to find yourself, if somebody wanted to target that demographic group, everywhere they went, they would begin to see negative stories on Hillary or Sanders or whatever. And that has the net effect of making these people become discouraged and kind of give up supporting their candidate. In the same way, let's say you're a Trump supporter, and then these social media and tech companies, which, by the way, were caught in being in collusion. A number of the big tech companies were caught being in collusion to manipulate the news feeds. So, for example, people who are Trump supporters are receiving nothing but negative news or negative polls about Trump for the purpose of discouraging them, keeping them from voting and losing interest in the election. And the same tech companies would send positive information to the candidates they support, but these tech companies had colluded against Trump and Trump supporters by controlling the content of the news. So you're not really seeing the news, you're seeing filtered news that's either all negative or all positive, depending upon what their agenda is. And so you can destroy a movement of people. You can keep millions of people away from the polls. And you have to be very careful, because everything in the internet, in the virtual world of the internet, is being done electronically by computers, but not only, it's being merged to the very highest level and most sophisticated sciences of psychological persuasion, propaganda, scientific mind control, so on and so forth, that the sciences of persuasion and mind control have like escalated, and they are on par with biotech and transhumanism and other and software companies in terms of the acceleration and development of technology and the perfection of the most sophisticated scientific techniques of persuading and controlling people's behavior and emotions. So you wed that science and technology with the flow of information, the content of information, you wed that technology with the social bots, and you have created an internet which is a completely artificial world that can cause anything. You can cause race riots to erupt across the United States. You can cause people to feel like I've been tracking the story very carefully about the fact that the election, the voting machines are largely owned, and it doesn't really matter whether you can prove it this week or what week, because you go back and you can't quite prove it. So let's say it's alleged, but there's all those.
Hold that thought. We're coming up against the break. When we come back, we'll hit right on the electronic voting machines and the ability for them to be hacked. CBS actually did a piece on their morning show talking about and showing how easy it is within 7 minutes being able to hack an electronic voting machine. You're listening to Paul McGuire. We'll be right back after these short messages. Military is more focused on manipulating news and commentary on the internet, especially social media, by posting material and images without necessarily claiming ownership. This according to the Washington Post a few years ago.
It's amazing. You know, folks, I'm going to give you, before we go back to Paul, I'm just going to give you a couple of little tidbits of trivia information that's relevant to what Paul is talking about. A study was conducted back in 2012 showing the digital content of the entire world is about 2.8 zettabytes. Now, a zettabyte is 1,000 exabytes. Well, how can you even consider what that is? What's even more frightening, I suppose. Well, consider this. The human brain can store about 2.5 petabytes of data. A petabyte, well, an exabyte is 1,000 petabytes, and a zettabyte is 1,000 exabytes. You can't even imagine. I mean, it's hard to wrap your brain around this. But the digital content of the entire world is 2.8 zettabytes, and it would double that size about every 30 months. Just to give you an example, a zettabyte is represented by the number 10 with 21 zeros after it. It represents 1 billion terabytes, or 1 trillion gigabytes. Just consider that, and also consider this as Paul is talking. In the fall of 2013, the National Security Agency, the NSA, finished its $1.5 billion spy center in Utah. That center alone has a reported capacity of 5 zettabytes, or almost twice the size of all digital content in the world. If you don't think, ladies and gentlemen, that they're not vacuuming up all data, digital content that's out there, they are. Why? Because they can. Paul McGuire is our guest, paulmcguire.us. Bookmark his website, folks, and also he's got a daily radio show. That's unlike anything that's out there. Plug into that as well. But check that out at paulmcguire.us. Paul, thanks for holding, and let's continue.
Sure. Back to what you just said. So the intelligence agencies in the United States and Russia and China and other nations that have the capacity to have big intelligence agencies, they're all collecting megadata, which essentially means they're collecting data on absolutely everything imaginable under the sun, to absolutely every technology imaginable or unimaginable. It's 24/7 data collection on everything. So on every person, every company, everything is just constantly being recorded and collected and stored. Now, that doesn't mean that all this data that they're collecting through megadata is necessarily being looked at. It's just always being collected. Because if something ever happens, it's like in the movie Minority Report, you know, pre-crimes with Tom Cruise, they were able to predict on the basis of people's psychological profile if they were going to commit a crime, and they had these beings that were able to see into the future when a crime would be committed. So they would arrest people before they committed the crime. So the idea with megadata is to collect everything on everybody and every organization under the sun constantly. And if something happens, let's say there's a terrorist attack or whatever, you can always go back in time. You can go back 3 years, let's say, and you can pull all this data. Let's say there's a robbery at a 7-Eleven in Kansas City, okay, in Kansas City. So they want to find out who robbed it. They could go back 3 or 4 years. They could look at satellite photos of that 7-Eleven. They could look at security photos of the 7-Eleven and whatever other surveillance devices are monitoring what's going on in that 7-Eleven. They could retrieve 4 years in the past if they needed to track down, you know, potential thieves. So that's the purpose of megadata. That's why I laugh whenever I hear this stuff that any emails have been deleted. It's absolute nonsense. Sure, it was deleted off this server, off this computer, but there's another computer, there's another server, there's another backup. Nothing is ever deleted. There's collection on everything. No matter what, I mean, who it is, who you are, whatever you think you're deleting, it never gets deleted. It's being stored. Somebody has it. So the idea that something is deleted and you can't retrieve it is complete nonsense. You can retrieve anything. Now, back to the rigging of the voting machines. This has gone back quite a few years. And I'm going to use the word alleged because it's very difficult to prove, because things change from week to week, year to year. So at one moment, a particular individual, it may be reported that he has ownership in a voting machine company, and now he no longer does. So it doesn't matter who the public figure is who owns a piece of the action of a voting machine company, because you can always change the public figure. But Soros has had a piece of the action of numerous voting machine companies, according to numerous reports. And it's been alleged that it was for the purpose of manipulation of votes. And he had ownership of voting machines in Utah recently. There's a company called Diebold that at one time he allegedly had part ownership. And you see a pattern of very powerful people having part ownership in all these different voting machine companies being used here in the United States. But the more important principle is, no matter what voting whatever electronic voting machine is being used, whatever the manufacturer is, they're all subject to hacking very easily. In other words, there's almost no security for a voting machine. They can all be hacked electronically, and so you can manipulate any vote. So the entire voting system of the United States is essentially compromised, at least wherever there are electronic voting machines. And many of the key states involved, they all use electronic voting machines. So we have a problem there. But now I'm going to add another problem onto the problem. Not for the sake of depressing people, but just to play out. We live in a world of constant psychological manipulation, not only with data, but psychological manipulation of the mind. So we have to ask ourselves the question, why are all these stories coming out right now from leftist-leaning publications and leftist television networks about voting machines being rigged and voter fraud? Well, I would suggest to you that it's highly possible that the purpose of releasing these stories is not because they want more integrity in the voting machine process. I would suggest to you that there's a high possibility that they're talking about it to discourage a target demographic, let's say Trump supporters, into even voting. Because what they're essentially saying in between the lines, even though they're not saying it outwardly, they're saying, hey, look, the voting machines are rigged in the key states. So it doesn't really matter if you vote. You might as well stay home because there's no way that your candidate can win. I mean, there's a propaganda message in the mix there. Now, the other thing is, we never know when we look, unless we know something about if it's a conservative news website, if it's a liberal news website, we never know, no matter how conservative you think that conservative news site is, you don't really know if it is conservative or it's a front for some very liberal organization. So when you see exposés of, and I have a pile of information here of articles on the internet from conservative websites talking about the manipulation and rigging and hacking of voting machines, I would have to carefully examine whether these are being put out there to disillusion potential voters and cause them to stay home, or they're put out there to actually shine light on the darkness and get people to pay attention and force some kind of monitored election so that it can't be rigged. So you have to look at it from both ways. Now, the other thing is that with this Pokemon Go game, what it showed us is the game is played in what's called augmented reality, which is slightly different from virtual reality. Augmented reality is where you have a mixture of virtual reality and real reality. So you have these virtual reality Pokemon Go monsters, characters, or whatever, but these virtual reality Pokemon Go monsters could be running around in real reality streets, and as Doug was making the joke, running across a highway or whatever. So people are running around looking at their cell phone monitors, and they're interacting with Pokemon Go virtual reality characters, but the streets and the sidewalks and the restaurants that they're looking at are real. So you see a mixture of the virtual world and the real world. And so why this is dangerous is because you can bend reality in people's minds. A lady claiming to be raped by a Pokemon Go monster figure. And there's been a whole series of reports like that, and strange criminal behavior, rapes and crime and allegedly a murderer or whatever because of the Pokemon Go game app. So it's bending reality. Now, here's the other thing. When people download the Pokemon Go app, it has been alleged that, and I haven't done it because I haven't downloaded the app, I'm not interested in it, but when you sign all the things we always sign when we download an app off the internet, it supposedly legally gives the Pokemon Go app company access to absolutely everything in a person's computer. Everything. I'm talking about everything. Now, so therefore, when they download the Pokemon Go app, they've opened a doorway to the complete monitoring, retrieval, and information of absolutely everything in their computer, which, quite frankly, I'm surprised that the doorway must be there anyway. But now the Pokemon Go company said, well, that was an accident and we're going to change it. So they said that's a temporary flaw that we're able to have access to your entire computer and we're going to fix it. That remains to be seen. But how many of these companies that offer these apps or these social media companies, how many of them are affiliated with intelligence agencies or partially invented by technology given to front companies? In other words, is Pokemon Go just some game, or does it have an intelligence agency connection? And these are things that we really need to look at, because quite frankly, I don't buy the story that, you know, the common myth of this guy who was tinkering in his garage and he invented software that changed the world, and this guy who was tinkering in his garage in Silicon Valley and he invented software. I mean, I name probably 10 or 12 social media billionaires and tech companies that are involved in the internet, and it's always started by some, you know, college kid or young guy or, you know, party guy who gets together with his friends and then mysteriously comes up with this technology and this financing, and then a couple of years go by and, you know, their stock is worth billions and billions of dollars. I don't buy that, because every one of those social media companies, not every one of the social media companies, but a lot of these social media companies have a dual function. They offer a kind of service, but they're also, first and foremost, they're a means of monitoring the user of social media technology. Your thoughts, your attitudes, your religious beliefs, your everything about you is now an open book and being collected, because every time you make a little post on Facebook or whatever it is, it's being compiled into a file on you.
Yeah, and Paul, if I can, it's so much worse than, you know, we see these NSA and other alphabet agencies that have these amazing surveillance capabilities, from listening to your phone calls or reading your emails and text messages to, you know, watching or viewing how you use electricity in your house. But this is so much different, because this is a user-based platform where people offer up their own private and personal information themselves, basically allowing the government to collect the information from the person who's giving it to them. And it's not that they're, you know, getting warrants or even using warrantless capabilities to capture your information. So billions of people are willingly associating themselves with other people, stating their political views, and giving, you know, so much more information freely. And these people not only catalog and capture this information, they go on to sell a lot of that information as well. And it's all because the users offered it up.
Yeah. So where this all takes us is we are, you know, within striking distance of perhaps the most important political election in America's history, where so many issues are going to be decided, such as the Supreme Court judges. That's the big issue, and other issues. So back to what we were talking about earlier in the program, I have never seen the media in a full assault propaganda mode in my life. I've never seen so much lying, distortion, taking off the gloves, and just total propaganda, hardcore, all the way. Because the goal here, you know, people go, well, gee, who's the candidate that's not a globalist? Who's the candidate that's going to get things done? Who's the candidate that's going to change things? And I'm thinking of back a couple of months in the election, of all the people who were evangelical Christians who were concerned about the answers to those questions, and conservatives who were concerned about the answers to those questions. But, I mean, it's fairly obvious to me. If all hell is breaking loose from the globalists against a particular candidate, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that that candidate must be a threat to the globalists. And if the entire system is attacking and attempting to tear down a particular candidate, then it tells you that that candidate must be a threat to the system. Whereas if the system is propping up any candidate, Democrat or Republican, and not fully on attacking them, then that's the candidate who has made a compromise with the system. I mean, it's so obvious. I don't understand why, you know, this is not like top of the mind for most people. The globalists have an agenda in Europe and in the world. And by the way, all the people, and I've been writing about this in the first book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Mass Awakening, and then in the brand new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, which we have a special, which I'll let you announce, I guess, later. We're giving away a number of free copies on your program, but I'll... am I supposed to handle that, or are you guys going to handle that?
Boy, that's a great question. Regardless, it'll be handled and handled well. And okay. Paul, I want to thank you for your generosity. Folks, you just stay tuned for Paul's special offer. And if you're one of the lucky ones, my goodness, you know, it's going to be great. Paul's been very generous with respect to his new book. And it's well worth it, folks. It is so well worth it. So stay tuned for more of that. But go ahead. Oh, Paul, I just want to mention something, too.
Sure.
If we can go back, just, you were talking about Donald Trump, because I had come out personally talking about Donald Trump this week on a couple of different occasions. And given our options, it's my personal view, you'd have, if you're a Christian or even a conservative, small c conservative, you would have to be absolutely off your rocker to not vote for Donald Trump or to vote for Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. You know, I mean, quite frankly, I'm not sure how any Christian or any conservative can rationally, if given the only choices, how can any conservative or any Christian rationally, explain that?
Because I heard Glenn Beck today. My wife had a few doctor's appointments, and I had Glenn Beck on, and he said that he was reading listeners' emails that were critical of his position on the election because he's not supported Trump, and the listeners take that as support for Hillary Clinton. But he said it was like deciding between throwing a baby in a blender or throwing a baby in the microwave, saying...
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Yeah, but this is what, you know, how he worded it, and he said that, he kind of said, well, if I have to, I don't have to vote for one of those. And he compared that, you know, the two choices to two different kinds of ways you can murder a baby, which is unfair and not along the lines of what we're dealing with here. He said that, you know, if you're righteous, you will vote righteously, and in his mind, you can't vote for Clinton or Trump and do that.
Yeah, and let me just interject something here, and then we'll toss it back to Paul. I had a listener, a very, very dear listener, send me a book called The Fallacy Detective, and that is an example of a fallacious argument. I just want to say that, but, you know, to equate that with the elections. But go ahead, Paul.
We've got about 5 minutes before break, Paul. Take it away.
Well, I want to make it clear that I'm not publicly advocating one candidate or another. I have a candidate that I intend to vote for, but I want to say something. I don't know if I can say it this quickly. Well, Glenn Beck, I guess we should talk about it after the break. Glenn Beck says a lot of things that are very strange. And when we're talking about this virtual world reality in the internet, that this also includes the elite raising up spokespersons and organizations that pretend to be one thing, but are in actuality something else. And I want to talk about Glenn Beck when we come back, because there's a pattern there. If you look carefully, there's a pattern that demands that people examine the pattern. And I'm not going to make an accusation regarding him, but I'm going to ask a question, because there's something very conspicuous about where he's leading people. But back to the two candidates. The Democratic Party, whether you like them or not, they have done what a political party should do. They're acting as one. They have, for the most part, entirely thrown their support behind Hillary Clinton. They don't have people who are high up in the Democratic Party, for the most part, taking shots at Hillary Clinton. They're all behind her. They're acting in unison. Now, it's very strange that on the Republican Party, you have people that are very high up and media people like Glenn Beck who are attacking and attempting to tear down and saying that they won't vote for their party's nominee. Now, there's no way the Republican Party's nominee can successfully win an election. I mean, you can do an end run around it, but it takes a lot of work when you're being sabotaged internally by your own political party. So the deeper question in this election, this is what I'm trying to get to, is a deeper issue in the election than the traditional Republican-Democrat paradigm. The deeper issue is the globalist control of the United States and the globalists wanting to control the economic agenda of the United States, the social agenda of the world and the U.S. And so this is really, if you look at it deeper, this current election is an election between the people that are aware and awake of what's really going on and the globalist elite who have an agenda of total control. And I'm going to bring up Soros again, because as you know and many of your listeners know, his emails were hacked. And so the very idea that I'm bringing up of an elite control over our nation is supported by the content of the emails that were leaked from Soros' organization, where they said they planned to use migration as a new normal I'm paraphrasing them, but to control and move forward their political agenda. So Soros is a player for the elite. And in the same way, Glenn Beck and others are they're not who they pretend to be. And I'm going to get into that in a moment. And it really bothers me that especially evangelical Christians are so naive that he is Jesus said you judge a tree by its fruit. So if people were to act on what he's telling them to do, he's destroying the political process. He's burning it down. His words are more dangerous than rigging a voting machine, because he's essentially saying, don't vote. And we know that voting isn't going to solve everything, but voting is important. It's still important to a large degree.
Hold that thought, Paul.
Okay.
We're up against the break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to hit on that issue of what Glenn Beck is saying and his messages between the lines, as well as give you details on how you can get a copy of A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017 or the 4 DVD set for A Prophecy of the Future of America. Stay with us.